ABC Northern Tasmania, Leon Compton in the chair. Great to have your company this morning. Right around Tasmania, we learnt that it was sunny in Ulverston a little earlier this morning. It is certainly sunny in Hobart. How is it where you are? Send me a text. And if you've got a classic car from 1962 to 2000, somewhere in the driveway or the paddock or the shed, or maybe you're eyeing off, maybe you've got an ageing neighbour and you're thinking, oh, he's been driving that Kingswood since it was new. And you're thinking, I wonder if it's time to put in an offer. 0438 922 936 is the number. Let's welcome Mark Haybittle, the owner and director of Supercar Secrets. Mark, good morning to you.
Yes, good morning, Leon. How are you today?
I could barely be better, Mark. I could barely be better. Got a question, though. Like, every year that you age, are you, like, next year, will you be interested in classic cars to 2001 and then 2002? Or is it your contention that all of the classic cars that will ever be made already exist and have been built?
No, that's certainly not the case. There's a few cars being built in the current age which are fabulous, quite honestly, but there's just not as many of them as there used to be. So there's a couple of outstanding things, cars around at the moment. But whereas, you know, 10 years ago, or, well, probably more like 15 years ago, you'd be able to see a plethora of these cars, like 30, 40, 50 different types of cars that were all exciting and were definitely going to be future classics. There's about three at the moment, so, of the current crop of cars.
And I'm imagining they tend towards the more expensive end of the spectrum rather than sort of everyday drivers that are...
No, funnily enough, not really. Well, one sort of borders on both of those statements, like a Kia Stinger. You know, it's the best thing that Kia have ever produced. Hardly anyone knows about them. But they're a rocket ship. They're a great little car. They're not hugely expensive, and they will go on to be a classic, absolutely for certain. Because rare, you know, they've got all the statistics. They've got the performance, they've got the looks, and they're rare, you know.
Yeah, right. And certainly police know about them, because in other parts, I'm not sure. Can somebody give me in fact, I know we've got police listening this morning. A Kia Sting is part of our highway patrol, because they're certainly part of, they're part of other highway patrols.
In certain states. I don't know about in Tasmania, but in certain states they're using them because they're the sort of replacement for a WRX, you know, when the police used to use WRXs for obvious reasons. So, they're a good thing. And the new Alpha falls into that category as well. And the third one is the Lexus LC400. That's a beautiful looking thing with great performance.
Well, let's welcome some guests to the radio this morning. Mark Haybittle's our guest this morning, director and owner of Supercar Secrets. His passion is cars from 1962 to 2000. And if you would like to join us, we would love to hear from you this morning. So please get in touch because, yeah, like I say, we'd love to hear from you. Glenn, good morning.
Yeah, Leon, Mark, how are you going?
What have you got there, Glenn?
I've got a 1989 MX-5. Had it for a while. I bought both off my neighbour. Unfortunately, I sold the best one. But are they going to go up in value?
They already have, and they're going to continue. So that's an NA with the pop-up headlights, isn't it, 89?
Yes.
Yeah, they're the ones. That's where all the value is. They're rising very fast. They went from an extremely low base. I mean, you know, 2 years ago you could buy one for sort of $4,000 or $5,000, but they're sitting on 20 to 25 now and rising fast. And hold on to it. Do not give it up. It's got huge growth potential. Essentially because, you know, many of the cars, many of the other MX-5s are either rusting away or dropping off the perch, you know, and they're going to the wreckers yards.
Yes.
So hang on to that, because that's got great future. The NA is the one to get pop-up headlights.
What about 71 Mini Moke?
Same. Well, they've already gone ballistic. I don't know about in Tasmania, but there's a Mini Moke centre up here that regularly sells Mini Mokes. The Californians for $80,000-$90,000. They're worth huge money, Mini Mokes. They're like a gold bar.
Crikey, Glenn. It's not really Mini Moke weather down here, Mark. I can't imagine. It would have been the epicenter. I think Magnetic Island was the place that the Mini Moke was most popular. But Glenn, sounds like you're onto a winner there. Nice work, you. Hey, Mark, is it your advice when people call you with a really great car, do you say try not to drive it and keep the Ks low? Like, how do you talk to people about that?
Look, you've hit the nail on the head of something that's really difficult. And even for all the cars that I've got, I'm really conscious of the kilometres. So, for example, if I've got a car that's sitting on 60,000 k's or around that mark, you know, and it's on 67, let's say, I don't want it to get to 70 because 70 is worth a lot less than 60. So k's are a problem. I mean, it's just one of those things. If you drive these cars around, mostly people, even like myself, you know, we only drive these cars a couple of days a week. So you can keep the k's down by rotating them with all your other cars in our case. But you know, the best way to do it is to have an everyday car and then have one of these classic cars that you just use on weekends. That's the best way. But you do have to keep the k's down, yes.
Good on you. Mark Haybittle is our guest this morning. Got a classic car. Gavin's in Montrose. Good morning, Gavin.
G'day. How you going?
What do you got?
I've got... two, or probably three, I don't know. But I've got a 1972 250 CE Mercedes Coupe. And
right.
I like to drive her every day. Well, not every day, every week. And a 1973 Combi, but it's an automatic Combi camper.
Okay, we'll go to the Combi first. So it's 73, so it's the facelifted version. What engine? Is it the 1.8 or the 2-litre auto?
1.8.
Okay, right, okay. If it was a 2-litre, it would have slightly higher value. What sort of kilometres on it?
I think about 67,000 k's, but I guess that's the second time around.
It could be. Yeah. Well, assuming it's the second time around, it's probably currently sitting on about 45k and still moving north. Not as much as, obviously, with the manual. The manuals are more desirable. They're higher than that. But about 45K for that. And the 250CE is an interesting one because they're a car that we've always said should take off because they're a great-looking car. And they haven't really. So you can only conclude from that that their time is yet to come. A little bit like with Rovers, we bought a pile of Rovers a couple of years ago and suddenly everyone's discovered the Rover SD1 and they've just rocketed up the charts in values in the last 2 months. So same thing. So with the 250CE, I'd say hang on to it and it's going to be worth more. Bit hard to value at the moment without seeing the car and knowing the kilometres.
Just a bit of a background on it. I'm the third owner. The first owner was a well-known political family in Tassie, and actually I was driving down the southern outlet and being chased by a car which I thought had done something wrong on the road, and she followed me all the way to my mum's house and she got out with tears in her eyes and said, "That's the car I used to drive from Launceston to Hobart every day with every weekend with my grandfather." So
if it's been owned by a previous politician, well then that skyrockets the value, and then it becomes a thing where once you tell the whole story, then it becomes more or less.
Leon might have to help with this. Does the Hodgman make it any more?
Of course it does. Absolutely, absolutely. Good on you, Gavin.
It was probably imported from Great Britain. It's got GB on the fuel tank, and when I first bought it, we kept getting laughed at because it was many years ago, and it was like we thought it was Gay Boy. But I pulled up at the Hungry Jacks the other day, and a 15-16-year-old girl looked at us and said, "That's the coolest car I've seen." So I thought, well, it must be going somewhere.
Whenever I think about those cars, Mike, I always think about those thick sheepskin seat covers that the Mercs of the era came with. Very plush.
That's right. A lot of them did. And very useful down in Tasmania, I might add, those sheepskin seat covers.
Indeed.
In the cold night.
Good on you, Gavin. We'll keep moving through the calls. It's 18 past 10. My guest this morning, Mark Haybittle, is director and owner of Supercar Secrets. Thanks, Gavin, for your call. Let's say good morning to Graham in Launceston. Good morning, Graham.
Hey, how you doing?
What do you got?
1978 Triumph TR7.
Oh, a TR7.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah,
Now, the TR7 is a really interesting car. For many years, they were really practically worthless, and you couldn't give them away. But now, because of the rarity of them and because of the very angular shape of the TR7, they've actually taken off. And these days, you'd fetch well over 20 grand for one of those, whereas a few years ago, not even five. I mean, the TR8 is obviously the one to get, and the TR8 convertible even more so, but the TR7 has got a great place now in the whole classic scene, and 20 to 25 all day long. What colour is it?
It's one of the Triumph Reds. It's sort of dark red.
Okay. Sabering red, it'll be.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well,
so
this
it'll be
is
Sabering
a,
red. So, and it's got the 1800 or the 2 litre?
Well, the TR7's only came out with a 2 litre, but this has got a V8 in it.
Oh, right. So it's actually a TR8, really.
Oh, it's a conversion.
Yeah, so, yeah, conversion. But it's a what we would call a TR7 V8, yeah?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Well, as you would know, that makes it worth a whole lot more. So then it suddenly jumps to being about 40. Even though it's not an original TR8, it's still, you know, it doesn't matter because most people really want the V8.
Right. How often do you get out and take it for a drive, Graham?
As often as I can, but I'm sort of half. I'm doing a bit of a restoration on it at the moment, just from a mechanical side. So having a new 4 litre Rover V8 built. It's got a brand new Mazda MX-5 gearbox going into it, a conversion that you get from the UK, and a Quaife LSD.
Well, good on you, Graham. Lovely to talk to you this morning. Talking about the power of restoration, and we're talking classic cars this morning. Got something that you love, 1962 to 2000. Mark Haybittle's passion is that. And I tell you what, Chris in Sandy Bay knows a fair bit about this sort of business as well. Chris, good morning to you.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, Mark. Very interesting program. Like some of your approaches. Yes, well, I suppose my only classic motor car happens to be the same year as the same age as the ABC, 1933 Morris Minor, two-door Y-wheeled saloon.
Wow.
with wood grain dash and an 848cc engine, about less horsepower than the average ride on lawnmower. Never mind.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But the interesting thing with classic cars, as Leon knows, I've been in the car business in this town for too many decades, is the future of classic cars and the future opportunities for restoration and maintenance.
Yeah.
In England, it's a huge business. It's a £5 million business just on restoring, you know, anything from, you know, Jaguars to Aston Martins. But here in Australia, we've got probably the best original collection of cars because we've never had the rust, the corrosion that the UK cars experience in their home lifestyle. But I think in terms of a young man who has a passion for motor vehicles, looking at learning the skills of conventional engines and conventional carburetors and gearboxes and braking systems, you know, pre-disc brakes, etc., it's becoming difficult to find the people who have those skills because they're like me, they're getting well into the grey hair grade. But we do notice at the classic car events down at Sandy Bay and at Richmond, more of the younger people are taking a genuine interest in the older cars. My grandfather had one or something of that sort, and that's a very important aspect, I think, for the future of collectible cars. Probably, you know, more like 62 than 2002. And I think isn't interpretation of SI plates is that's 30 years, isn't it?
Well, and it's a really interesting point, Chris, the opportunities that will come into the future for people that want to get into restoration or indeed investment in classic cars. Mark, are you concerned that we're losing those sort of trade skills that come around tuning, you know, that seeing a carburetor and knowing how to tune it?
Oh, look, I wholeheartedly agree with the gentleman's words. I mean, you know, we find it, we do a lot of restorations up here in Sydney, mainly on early Range Rovers because there's so much value in those, the two doors. But we find it eternally very difficult to get people. And as was said, the great thing that's inspiring me at the moment is that the younger generation, the latest generation to sort of become of age where they can start working, do seem to have a great interest in these cars because they're so different from the current cars and they're so much more exciting and so much more interesting. So I wholeheartedly agree, and we bring a lot of people in from overseas to work on our vehicles because that's the only way that we can get the skills. But, you know, if there was a skills training base here in Australia, that would go a long way to alleviate the issues and also give people a great life because playing with these cars is fantastically exciting, I have to say.
Your mornings around Tasmania. Chris, thank you for the call this morning. 1-300-222-936 is the number. Oh, Greggy's got a 1967 VW Splitty. what's one worth these days? These are the fastest appreciating cars just about on the planet, aren't they, Mark? A split window van?
They certainly are. Yeah, they've been doing it for a while, the split screen VWs. That would be, if it's 67, that would be right at the very, very end of the split screens. You need to know an awful lot of information on these vehicles to be able to value them. So it's very hard to do them over the phone. There's such a wide range. There's the 23 window, there's the 11 window, there's a whole variety of different window combinations and vans and combis and all the rest of it. But essentially, they're worth a lot of money.
Right, they're worth a lot of money. Good on you. And look, Peter's in Opossum Bay. Peter, how many split window combis do you own?
I've got two splitties and I've got four other bay windows, low lights and the later bay window.
Yeah. Crikey, is that your superannuation sorted out there, Peter?
No, I've given them to the kids. So the two splitties, they go to my kids. I've got one sitting me at the moment that I'm restoring for my daughter, and the other one for the boys is finished.
They're fantastic vehicles, aren't they? Great.
Oh, yeah.
Great car.
I've got a 67 that I've had for 40 years. I brought it back from WA, and that's the one that I'm doing up at the moment. It's nearly finished. Yeah.
How many windows has that got, just so I know?
That's an 11 window. Yeah.
11 window. Right, okay.
Yeah.
They're a great thing, aren't they? As you would know, there's been some record prices set with those over the last few years, you know, in the 300s for the 23 window ones, you know.
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah,
in the
yeah.
$300,000 mark?
Yeah, over 300. Some of our collectors have paid 330, 340 for them. I mean, that's what they get when they're fully restored or completely original, one of the two. Yeah.
Wow. I did one for a guy in Subiaco, a friend of mine, in Western Australia, and he parked it in an outsider show in Subiaco Oval, which is the biggest Volkswagen show in Australia. Reluctant to take it in, and he just parked it down the street, virtually a couple of blocks away, and he won People's Choice. and that van is amazing. It's Mango in colour, so it's that khaki green with the seagull grey top, and 23 windows, canvas roof. Yep. It's amazing. And it goes like wow. So.
That is an incredible story. Good on you, Peter. We'll leave you to it. Mornings Around Tasmania. We had so many texts come in. Mark Haberdell's our guest this morning from Supercar Secrets. 0438 922 936 if you'd like to join us. Oh, another question about Cortinas, Mark, has so often come. We've got a 1966. Mark doesn't have what Mark it is. Mark 1 GT Cortina and a 68 Mark 2 two-door Cortina. All in original condition, says Adrian this morning. What are we getting for them?
Well, here in Australia, not as much as you'll get in the UK. The UK market, because as you know, we ship cars all around the world. The UK market for Mark 1 GTs and Mark 2 GTs has just completely gone nuts. So to give you an example, you know, Mark 2 GTs, we sold one recently over in the UK and got just under £70,000 for it. 67 is what we got, so that's about $130,000, but you won't get that here. You'll probably get, you know, 60 here, so sort of half the value. So the market for those two cars is 100% back in the UK, and the Mark 1 GT, if it's a 1500 pre-cross flow GT, which it would be, I would think, that again, 55,000 pounds in the UK, so over $100,000, but here probably about $50,000. So, yeah, there's sort of two prices for you there, because anything Ford, Cortina, ship it straight to the UK because that's where you get the highest values.
1965 Mustang, one owner USA car, V8 Auto, no powerhouse, but looks nice, says Andrew in Penner this morning. I'm on a guess that might be the fastback. So for people that want to imagine what that would look like, it's 2 years younger than what Johnny Depp drove in, in 21 Jump Street, the original.
To be honest on that, we'd need to know a lot more information, because you can be radically, it's easy to be radically out without a lot more information on Mustangs. So you need to know the engine option, the mileage, whether it's left-hand or right-hand drive. And as you said, whether it's a coupe or a fastback or one with a boot. So we'd need a bit more info on that.
And Daniel's got an XB Falcon and a WB Holden Ute. Both need restoration, hopefully in my lifetime, but maybe my sons will be interested in doing it. Thank you, Daniel, for that this morning. How are the XB Falcons holding up?
Oh, well, they're going very well. The XBs and even the WBs, the XB Falcon really has just really sort of come of age, really, particularly with the two doors. The two doors are sort of well over 200 grand, like 250, you know, 280 now. They were higher. They've come back a bit. But if it's a four-door, fully restored and in mint condition, you know, the other side of 100K when it's done, but you need to do the restoration on it first. So it's hard to value what it's like now because I've not seen it. You know? Oh,
and I know that there were some types of WRX that were really jumping in value. John in Longford says his daughter has a 1998 WRX, had it for a dozen years, doesn't want to get rid of it. Were the 1998 ones the ones that were really jumping in value?
They're the ones that are absolutely skyrocketing. They're not jumping, they're skyrocketing. Certain versions, it's called the GC8 WRX, we've got loads of them. We bought loads of them about 2 years ago when they were worth not very much. And they're absolutely skyrocketing, particularly for low mileage examples. And then for the certain special examples, such as the P1s and the Type R's and the other variations on the theme, you know, there have been cases recently of them reaching nearly $1 million.
Okay. So an important
that's
news.
That's where they're going to.
He needs to stop his daughter selling that at the moment under any circumstances and potentially garaging it and placing a really expensive doona on it.
Clean it. Do everything to it, but don't sell it. Do not sell.
Do not sell. Warning, do not sell. Hey, Mark, it's been great to talk to you this morning. As ever, we've been inundated with calls and texts. Sorry we can't get to so many people. But that's Mark Haywood. I'll catch you in a couple of weeks, Mark.
Yep, fantastic. Thanks, Leon. Have a great week.
You're on Mornings Around Tasmania. That's Mark Haywood.